Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
5.5 years. 5.5 years. Not officially, but that's, I think it's probably pretty close. Somebody out there, see, this is July. I started this show January 25th, 5.5 years ago. What would that be? 2016? Somebody do the math on that. What's 5 days a week for 5.5 years?
Yeah, 2016, the day before Lavoy Finicum was assassinated.
Wow, Larry, thank you for that. Huh? Somebody do the math on that. I'm not some Johnny Come Lately.
250 shows a year, Coach.
That's 250 shows a year. Now, that's 260, isn't it, Mark? That's 52 weeks.
Yep.
260 shows a week. Somebody do the math for me real quick. I'm not bragging. Just want you to know that when you come here, been doing this a while. I did it a while in obscurity, and I thank God for, as we talked about the other day, those days in the wilderness, those days in obscurity when the Lord sharpens your skills and hones your skills, and you feel sorry for yourself because nobody listens to you, nobody cares what you have to say. And those of you who've been with us a while know that we're moving the hearts of men here, hearts of women. When I say men, I say in general, and I don't brag about it. It's a gift. I'm honored that the Lord would do it, and we are making a difference. When I showed up in Anaheim, California, had a husband and wife couple came up, tears in their eyes, watched this every morning. And you guys would be shocked that people know you. Silver, you're kind of a hero to some people, right? Everybody has their own personality in this show. That's what's so great about when we get together. You get to rub shoulders with each other, and you walk into a room. You say, "Oh my goodness, there you are. There's Silver. Well, there's Betty. Well, there's Reggie." And it's like these people that you've been watching from afar, all of a sudden they're bigger than life right in front of you. I love what we do. Got a big event this weekend. Maybe you can pull that up here real quick, Spence. So did anybody do the math on that? How many shows was it? I'm waiting for all of you.
1430. Yeah,
if you said 5 years, it's yes. 12. 14.
No, 12, it's 5.5 years. So somebody just put up a
12. 5.5 years. Yeah, plus you did Sundays.
I did a couple Sunday shows. So 1,300, that's a lot, isn't it?
1,430.
1,430 somewhere. Wow.
Yes, Coach. Good morning.
Thank you. Try to keep these things. Try to keep these fresh and different, right? Go Therefore Conference, Red Pilling the Church, down around Dayton. Not going to say any more about it. I'm going to be there. It starts at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Yes, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's going to be there. And yes, you'll be able to talk to her. Yes, Doc Jen's going to be there. And she's going to be able to talk to Doc Jen regarding your own personal health issues and Hi, folks, we got to get healthier, man. We all got to get healthier. Some of you know it. I've lost over 20 pounds just being faithful to changing my diet and all that kind of stuff. And Dr. Michael Lake's going to be there. I can't believe it. I love Dr. He's one of the most humble. What a wonderful guy. So I'll see a lot of you there tomorrow, all weekend. Another big week. At least this one is close for us. What else I got up here real quickly? Let me look at my list. Bear with me here. Oh, tomorrow, Pastor Sam, the gospel gunslinger. Say who? Click on that video. Click on that link there real quick. Nope, the first one, Spence, says Pastor Sam, gospel. There he is. I met Pastor Sam when we were down in Nashville a few months ago, and he called me. He's in... This guy's the real deal, and he is How about this? How'd you like to be him? He's begging for, what do they call that? Sanctuary in Mexico. They're after him. Feds are after him. Others are after him because he's telling the truth down there on that Mexican border and they don't want to hear it. He's asking for asylum from the Mexican government, if you can believe that, for his own protection, his own safety. And I don't usually do guests, right? We're doing two in a row here today, but I think they're both important for you. So be ready to tune in tomorrow. And Sam's a good guy. And I could hear yesterday when I spoke to him again, I could hear in his voice, persecution's real, fear is real. And we have to stand with, support these kind of people. I wrote today on courage. I probably won't get a chance to read it. But it's good. If you haven't read it at Coach Dave Live, I don't even know if it's up there yet. The Cowards Go First is the title of the story. Cowards Go First. And I just pulled up there real quick because I want to point out two things. The opening sentence that the Holy Spirit gave me. There's nothing in this world that is more repugnant to Christianity than cowardice. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that one. That's a mic drop. And by the way, that is the main characteristic of today's Christian church is cowardice. We have cowardly Christians. A lot of these things we see going on are going on simply because those of us who claim the name of Christ will not stand up, speak up, regardless of what the consequences might be. The Bible tells us that greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends, and people won't do that. People won't lay down their lives for nothing. They won't do it. Fear has paralyzed us. Closing down our churches, taking the vaccine, social distancing, I'm not pushing back against the government. Craziness, folks. Craziness. It says that Revelation 21:8, this is all over me. It's what I'd like to do this morning. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, cowardly, but the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So for all you once saved, always saved folks out there, you better swallow hard on that one. This is a great white throne judgment when we all stand before Almighty God. We give an account for all our deeds done in the flesh. Say, well, I'm under the blood. Are you under the blood? I hope you are. But I believe there's going to be a lot of believers are going to stand before the Lord. And he says the fearful and the unbelieving. Hey, listen, he doesn't care. He's not mad at the fearful pagans. The Lord's not mad about that. The Lord's upset with the fearful and unbelieving church, the fearful and unbelieving Christians, the fearful and unbelieving Christians that want to open their mouth and stand up, the fearful and unbelieving Christians who love their neighbors and their friends more than they love truth. Okay, I'm going to shut up. You know what I'm talking about, though. It's where we are. It's where we are. The cowards go first. Maybe I'll read that thing for you. I won't read it today. I'll get to it soon. Hope to see some of you in Dayton tonight. Had a conversation with Reggie yesterday, 2 days ago, whenever it was. I don't remember where it was. I don't know if you guys understand this. I guess maybe I didn't really understand, although I do. The magnitude and impact of human trafficking. See, we think that's something that goes on in, it goes on over in India. It goes on over in Haiti. It goes on in Taiwan. We don't understand that human trafficking now is larger than the drug trade in the United States of America. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. You believe that, folks? The trafficking of human beings. Not only the trafficking of human beings, children, certainly, that's part of it. But human beings, grown people. We used to call those folks pimps, didn't we? Wasn't that human trafficking when a pimp controlled a woman? Well, human trafficking is going on right before our very eyes. We don't see it. We don't understand it. We don't understand that. Are you sitting down? The part of the human trafficking, system is government. Child Protective Services. Bobby Lee, out there, Bobby? Child Protective
Services. Oh, I'm here.
Uh-huh. Child Protective Services. Government money going to Child Protective Services where children are being trafficked right before our very eyes. Why? Because certain men have crept in unawares, is what the scripture says, and they've used Child Protective Services as a means to traffic children in the direction that they want to traffic them. We had an episode here in Newark, Ohio, 2 or 3 years ago, where two men had adopted a boy. That's right. Two men had taken in a child, and the child took in a couple boys. And one of the boys died. Well, he died. It seems that he died during roughhousing, whatever that means. Now, they went silent here in Newark, Licking County. They went silent on it. However, there was a clip in the newspaper article saying the one boy died roughhousing, playing, and the other boy, they just slipped this in, had lacerations on his penis. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Child trafficking, huh? Child Protective Services. So I don't know enough about it. I know some of it, but it's one of those things, hear no evil. Notice how I put this in my back. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. It's going on right in front of us. Now, this is kind of Reggie's baby. Reggie has the Tiny Hearts Brigade, where she's out trying to rescue the little children, but it's larger than that, and it's right before us. The scripture says that we are to rescue the women and children in their time of need. We're Christians. Goes back to courage. Goes back to courage. God bless Russ Dizdar and Tom Dunn, and God bless all those guys that are doing it on a national level. People laughing at them, don't know what's going on. Pizzagate was fake. All that's all right. Come on, man. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. So we really haven't done a show on this. But Reggie has with her today a guest. We'll get to you in just a second, Reg, of someone who's lived it. And we're going to unpack that a little bit here with today. So stay with it. Hey, folks, this is the gospel. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Say, Coach, I didn't tune in here to hear this. I wanted to hear the gospel. First of all, you're selfish. Secondly, this is the gospel, my friends. The heart of it all. I see Bobby wants in there and Larry wants in there. Let me get them in before we get going here with Reggie. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the question. All these kids that disappear under state care, where do they go? They just magically vanish?
Now, they ran out of milk cartons to put them on, I guess, Bobby. Not too many of them to put them on milk cartons. They used to do that, remember? And now, like you said, where do they just fall off? And they got the tent living down by the river? Is that what's going on? Where are these children? Where are they? Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to say back as long ago as 1981, a personal friend of mine in a situation I'm intimately knowledgeable of, a Florida judge ruled that her children, who she took the Florida judge ruled that it was better for the children to live in the home with a sex abusing father than it was to live in a home with a Christian mother.
Politically correct, bought off judges. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Politically correct. Do you think people just decide to run for judge? Do you think you get elevated to judgeship just because you're a good, you really think that? You think, I'm getting ahead of myself. So we're going to walk through this together. Reggie and I, play that video real quick. It says sex trafficking video down at the bottom. It's only about a minute, only about a minute and a half. Watch this. I'm going to bring Reggie in. Thousands of kids are trafficked each year in the United States. Millions. Go ahead.
Right here in the U.S., thousands of kids are trafficked and prostituted. If you think these aren't our kids, you're wrong. These are our kids, our friends' kids, our neighbors' kids, kids with low self-esteem or just looking to belong that are easy prey to pimps and traffickers.
My friend, she was really upset. She was like, I think he's really going to be upset if we don't have any money. And so we had to keep going to trucks. And sometimes we would stop and we would cry.
These children are cut off from their families. They suffer violence and sexual abuse.
And I just wanted to die. And then I started to just think that maybe I deserved this for doing this to my parents and to myself.
These kids are not criminals. They are victims. We all have to help them and give them what they need to go from being victims to survivors.
Let me ask you something here. Reggie, as you get ready to bring you in there, what kind of people have we become? when we don't do what Jesus told us. He said it would be better for you if they put a millstone around your neck and threw you into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead one of these little ones to believe on me, believe in me. We allow them to be sex trafficked. We allow them to be trained in homosexuality and pedophilia and transgenderism. And we poison their minds with pornography. We sexualize them at a young age. What is wrong with us? Why don't we love our children? We'll say that again. Why don't we love our children? What is wrong with us? Why do we allow our children to be victims, allow our children to be taught lies? Why do we keep our mouths shut when it says, rescue the women and orphans in their time of need? Okay, Reggie, I'm going to bring you in here, sweetheart. Pack this thing open for us here today.
Well, this is your show, and I thank you, Coach, for allowing this and voices to be heard. We are walking through this. One of the things that I want to say is it is sex trafficking, but it's so much more than that, and it has so many more tentacles that are unbelievable. Like, people just don't understand. And many of the groups that you see coming up now, because, you know, it's getting out there, they're actually trafficking. I'm going to say that. And then UNICEF is one of them.
Do you get what he's saying, folks? Those who say they're rescuing children are actually front groups for this trafficking. It's a, hey, friends, come on here. What do you think Jeffrey Epstein was doing? Come on. What do you think he was doing? Go ahead, Reggie.
So I don't want to take up too much time. I just, I do want to introduce T. She's not with me, but she is on the line. And
we're protecting her identity, right, Reggie?
Yes, she will be protecting her identity, but she will be telling you her story. But there's no way that she can tell you her full story. It's so convoluted. It's old international, not just, you know, here locally as far as the United States. And that's how these rings work. That's how these government systems work. That's how these law enforcement systems work. So without, you know, further ado, I don't want to keep on going, but I'm going to let T come in. And you guys have to understand, through this whole thing, please pray, because this is a spiritual issue.
Amen. Amen.
So T's story about her son is high level. It's not low level.
Hang on. Can I stop you right there, T, before you come in? Hey, Bobby, are you going to amen this from a distance? Bobby used to work with child services as well. Bobby, are you going to amen this?
Absolutely, I'll amen it. What I wanted to say just now is we're watching the biggest international child trafficking take place right now on the southern border, aided by Catholic services, the Border Patrol, and the police. And people don't care. It's an incredible thing. But yeah, I'm amening all of it. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead, Reggie. Or T, brother, want to bring T in, whatever you want to do, Reggie.
Yes. Hi, Coach Dave. Thank you for having me today. I really appreciate this opportunity today. Thanks. Hi, Reggie.
Appreciate your bravery, T. Come on in. The floor is yours. Take us on a trip here.
So what I want to tell you about today, all of you, is I'm going to tell you a story that is ongoing for me, actually, and my child. My child's name is Jonah, and I want to talk to you today about government-sponsored international kidnapping and international trafficking through governments besides our own.
Yeah. Hang on, T. I'm sorry, Spencer. Go ahead. We have a picture of little Jonah. Go ahead and throw that up if you will. Go ahead. This is the little boy we're talking about. Go ahead, T.
So again, before I kind of go into all this, I want to just make sure, like Reg said, that this isn't like my case is really, really high level. It's probably like literally like the highest level you could possibly be part of, unfortunately. And that would be a different show to get into all of that and how that works. So, but my main focus today is I really think it's important to discuss methodology and how our judicial system is broken and how it's used. And one of the things I want to stress on with how my son, Jonah, was trafficked and kidnapped through the system is I want to just stress that, see, there is a faux pas out there. The faux pas is that children are only trafficked and kidnapped off the street or through the internet. And I want to tell your audience that that is a faux pas. That is like, I got to be honest. And I'm sure, Bobby, you can maybe back me up on this one. It's like, that's only like 30%, guys. I hate to tell you that. But our biggest, this new Silk Road is literally trafficking through our judicial system, utilizing a corrupt system of officials, CPS. CPS is a crown corporation, by the way, and also run by the Crown of England, and they oversee it worldwide and also with the French aristocracy. Most people have never known that. We're talking about corporations that give orders down to every judicial system worldwide. Why? Because the bar system is under the Crown of England. Our bar system. Did you know that? Yes.
Yeah.
All the lawyers and attorneys, those are different, two different things, by the way, all take their oath of office under the Crown of England, the bar, the mayor bar of England. So that's, I want to start out saying that. For any questions?
No, we got it. Keep going.
Okay. So again, this is a really convoluted case. Literally when I usually do an interview in front of officials, it takes me with a white paper the entire day. So I'm just going to try to go through some bullet points as quick as I can. And again, it's confusing. They made it that way because people are into paper wizardry. And again, it's a methodology that they have literally perfected over decades. So in my
just give us a little appetizer right now. T, just run through it here. We'll get to the steak later. We'll give you another day. You don't have to cover everything now.
Perfect. Thank you. So basically, I was a single, like unwed mother, and I've never been married to this day. I want to make sure that's really clear. I wasn't the faux pas they put out there about parents who have their children taken through the judicial system is that, oh, they were drug addicts or they were bad people or something like that. I just want to start out saying that. So I don't have a criminal history, right? I don't have a drug history. I was an art director in Hollywood for over 20 years. An entrepreneur. I owned my own business. I had a business that was called Heavenly Perks, and I was an ordained minister and women's ministry. So, I'm a normal person. I was kind of like everybody else, just normal, like a normal people. Okay. So why did this happen to me? So we're still trying to figure that out, but again, this could happen to anybody is what I want to tell your audience.
Okay.
And so when this happened to me, I became pregnant by a real ex-fiance, that I knew I'd known most of my life and I was friends with. But they used somebody in this whole methodology that I knew, a person that I knew that I had dated for a short, like a couple months, that they came in to be a fake dad, okay, kind of thing. So, and I'm going to get to that in a minute because it gets convoluted. So basically, my son and I have a child and out of wedlock, unfortunately. We end up moving. My parents live in the tri-state area of Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee. And so we ended up moving to that area, and our house happened to sit in Alabama when my son was 3 months old. And just so you know, we were living our life, and we were going to be moving the coffee business that I had to the South. And we were making plans like normal people do to be with family. And this is my grandparents. My parents. This was their miracle grandbaby. He was born on their anniversary. My parents are 55 years married last December. So this was he was my miracle baby also too. So this was, like I said, normal life stuff. So fast forward, just to get into what happens after we moved to Alabama, Georgia area, Tennessee. All of a sudden these people come after my child at 14 months old. Now the Alabama judge and the officials there said, oh my gosh, she's being strong-armed. They knew. So they protected us, by the way. And this went on for like 2.5 years. These people kept trying to get my child, right?
Who's trying to get him? Who's trying to get him, T? Who's trying to get your child?
So who tries to get him is these ring officials in California. Yes. California, and they use a guy who was someone I knew. I dated for like 2 months. We're going to give him a name. His name is Sullivan. We're not going to go to his first name right now. But they use a person who plays a girlfriend who's a transgender man, whose name is, they use a false name by the name of Denise Glazer. His real name is Dennis Nolan. So these were generational traffickers that they used in the system. This person also, the guy that he used wasn't a resident of California. He was a resident of Colorado. So this gets into a lot of legal stuff that gets, you know, that gets difficult to, for people.
Okay, well,
to
don't trap us in the weeds. Tell us what happened.
Okay. So these guys use a bunch of officials that they're working together with case after case after case. So these guys have been, like I said, this is a ring of people that do this generationally too. So they come across state lines and they attempt to take my child, literally with no paperwork, no nothing, and at 14 months old.
So what do they say, T? Do they say, that's my son? How do they come and try to take your kid?
So that's just it. That's just it. They don't even tell you they're coming. You need to know that. People need to know. You don't even know this is happening. They literally do it secretly. So that, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? You know, like, you know this is crazy, but how can these people do this, right? So, again, that's where the judge in Alabama was like, hey, she's being strong-armed. So, and I'm going to get to what you just asked. So hang on. So what ends up happening is they end up getting my child. He's almost like 2 years old, to get him for 6 days. Now, I'm trying to figure out what in the world is going on. What I don't know at that time, when they get him for 6 days, okay, they literally take him and he gets abused. He gets molested. It's so bad that he's got developmental delays and he's almost two. And so my point is that I found out later on that I don't know that the Sullivan guy, he's filed in a California court where he's not a resident. And by the way, by this time, I mean, I'm a solid Alabama resident. And I also have like dual citizenship because we had stuff going on in Georgia. So here's a guy who, what he does, or what these ring officials do, is they frame mischief by law. It's a legal term. They file in a secret court in California. Why? It's because that's where they have this ring. This is where they have the power in California to do whatever they want. So it's in a secret court, and they file actually in a marriage court. Now, I don't know that at the time. I don't understand that they filed in a family marriage court when I've never been married, to say for this guy to, without proving paternity at all, proving that this is his child, to do any of this, or even say, hey, I'm the dad, she left without my permission, or, you know, any of that. I don't know that he's saying I'm his wife, and so are the officials behind my back.
They were trying to take Jonah as a custody battle.
Right. They used a fake custody battle is what they did. So fast forward, my son gets, like I said, gets taken for 6 days. He gets battered and abused. I had a special victims unit that came in and said this was from another state, basically, because I had to get him out of California. And they came back with intentional child abuse that these people actually, I mean, literally had horrifically. I mean, he had bruised, he had a hematoma on his head. He needed stitches on his face. It was pretty horrific. Mm. So
how old was he at this time?
He's 22 months old.
At the time this is going on, he's 22 months?
Right.
Okay.
And so, and these people have no orders. They have nothing to do any of this stuff at all in California. And so what ends up happening is I end up getting help out of the state of Alabama. I mean, I get the officials there are protecting me. I have a protection from abuse order. I got to the point where that there was another attempt. My son is about, like when he's about to turn three, closer to turning three, basically, I have the FBI involved. It gets to that point literally out of Alabama, of Gadsden. And I had a warrant for the arrest for these people because they tried to come over state lines again, tried to kidnap them out of our house. They'd stalk our house. I mean, it was pretty intense. Okay.
Why you?
And that's a show by itself. So why me? This is kind of jumping ahead, but I work with organizations, obviously, that specialize in this. And my case is something called a Lenage case. So they track people and they target people for various reasons. CPS is one of those organizations that's used to track people and also to target people. So, and they do it for different reasons, and when it gets into bloodlines. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. So when I kind of go through this whole rigmarole here of how they did what they did, I would like to go back to that at the very end. I'm going to go into more detail. Is that fair?
Yep.
Okay. So just to get through the story. So what they end up doing then, fast forward, is they end up getting the Alabama judge. He takes a bribe. They get him into Central America. He does a trip down there. He got blackmailed, basically, and he succumbs to them. And then what they do is secretly move the case into another secret court in Alabama, in a divorce court, without me knowing. I'm not served any papers. I don't even know this is going on. It's all secret, by the way. So with that said, they ended up doing a federal kidnapping of him over state lines. My son's been taken 3 times. Jonah and the whale type thing. 3 days, 3 nights, 3 times he gets taken. So he gets taken over state lines into California, full federal kidnapping from Alabama. They get him in a dark parking lot. The officials literally hand him over. The police help hand him over at 3 o'clock in the morning to a group of people. Okay. The Sullivan guy, the Denise Glazer, and another person named Sandy Short, random group of people. I don't even know who the Sandy Short person is to this day. It's just at 3 o'clock in the morning in Alabama. And my son's now going to be turning 3 years old. So I literally had to go to California. I'm fighting to get him back. They play a fake custody battle with me. Now they have two judges. Let me make sure I mention this. There's a judge named Kenneth K. So in California. He's notorious. They're literally to this day trying to get him removed because of the judicial fraud upon the court and crime upon the court this judge has committed in so many cases. He's notorious. Okay. So this guy is overseeing this Judge Irabidi and Judge Pollock, Gregory Pollock. These guys are notorious judges in California, known for all kinds of absolute crime upon the court. So he is overseeing these guys with these two judges to do this framing mischief by law to do these kidnappings of my child. Just want to mention that.
So I want to say this right now. I want to say this right now, T, because I try to think with the audience. People are scratching their heads. They're saying, oh, come on. She had to do something wrong. There's more to it than we're hearing. She was doing something, right?
Right. And that's just it. This is how they conditioned people for decades to believe that all these parents did something wrong in order to get some kind of, they need to be punished. They must have done something to get their child taken. And that's what I'm here to tell you. This is a methodology that a lot of these parents they're normal people, and they're naive. They don't know what's going on. They don't know why this has happened to them.
I wonder I'm just thinking here, T. I wonder if at some point they'll take children from parents who haven't been vaccinated.
They are. They're already doing it. They're already doing it.
Huh.
Yeah. It's already happening because...
And you're telling me they wouldn't be taking those kids to protect the children, but rather they have something else they would like to do with those children. Would that be fair to say, T?
That's fair to say. Absolutely what's happening. And there's cases right now that I work with other survivors and other advocates. I'm an advocate myself, by the way. And Oregon right now, there's a few cases where the governor there, Governor Kay Brown, she has basically pushed social services going into homes now to oversee parents and medical conditions. And she wants to make sure that every child's vaccinated. If they're not, that's child abuse. Just want you to know. So again, those parents haven't done anything wrong. So that's called medical kidnapping, just so you know. And it's very, very huge.
See, the government wouldn't do that.
They
wouldn't do that.
Right. Because, you know, we're all groomed and we're all kind of taught that our law enforcement and that anybody in the government is there to, we're supposed to trust them, right? They're supposed to help us. So speaking of that, I'm going to fast forward. So I want you to know, I go through this fake custody battle in California. Now, mind you, the guy that they've used is not a resident of California. And neither am I. That means nothing can get filed in California. They have no subject matter jurisdiction whatsoever. These, anything they make, any orders are void ab initio. So the judge, the second judge, Gregory Paul, as a matter of fact, when he's doing this, guess what? He got reprimanded for another case. You know, he was actually a judge in traffic court. And when he's doing this to me, and he's not even in family court. I don't know this till years later. Just so you know, I even had a case open with the DA's office in San Diego, and I had the head of the DOJ as my attorney. They said it's the worst case of legal kidnapping they'd ever seen in the city of San Diego.
Okay.
So somebody very high up later on under Kamala Harris shuts it down, and they're like, wow, we've never seen anything like this. They're all scared. They literally, the officials come in, these other officials come in. Her name is Jill Lynn Burt and Carol Schneider. She was a local Carlsbad investigator. And this is out of the Central District Attorney's Office. This is North County, San Diego. Another governing body of water come in. They don't have, which again, I never lived there. My son never lived in North County, San Diego either. That's another, that's going out of your protocol, basically, when you're in law enforcement. So these guys come in and shut down the case by somebody above and said, hey, if you try to go to the FBI, you do any of that, you'll never see your child again. They literally threatened me that. So fast forward, I end up getting help, and that's a whole nother show. I get my child back. Then these guys, again, I'm in North Carolina, and I know these guys are going to come after me again. I know I was told you need to get in federal court. We think that's the remedy here. I'm told you got to get in federal court outside of this. You got to get to DC. You're going to have to do something called file federal intervention ex rel, because this is all illegal. This is all, and I still don't know why this is happening to me at that time. I don't know what is, I don't understand any of this. I just know it's corrupt. So I know there's some people in a ministry that I knew in North Carolina. So I'm visiting North Carolina at the time. These guys, listen to this. This is the third kidnapping in 2012 on November 5th, Guy Fawkes Day. And that happens to be connected to the case is why I say that. So these guys come over state lines, and now, mind you, they told the law enforcement there, get this, that I am with no warrant, no paperwork whatsoever. They say, hey, you know what? She is Mrs. Sullivan. And what happened is she was upset because she was in a divorce court in San Diego, and she lost custody to this Mr. Sullivan, her husband, and she was upset, and she ran across about 100 law enforcement, I guess I'm Superwoman, and ran across the United States, drove across the United States with the child, and so we're here to get back the child because Mr. Sullivan has all the custody because she's crazy, and she's his wife is what it is, and they're in a divorce.
Okay, T, let me jump in here. Because I know you got a thousand stories to tell, but right. we're here. We are Information Avenue. That's what we are here. Without going into the details, because we'll get lost in the details. Yada 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 yada. What do we do, T? How does this work? If you were to be able to sit us all down and say this is going on, let's say everybody here believes you. This has gone on, even though maybe people think this is a rare case. This isn't happening everywhere. If you were to sit us all down, what would you, don't tell us about your case. Tell us what is it we need to do.
So that's just it, Coach Dave, is that there has been no remedy. There has been no redress is what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. This is what I'm here to tell you that I know I hear that in some of these other cases, like the pastor in Louisiana, he actually, yes, he won. That was wonderful. Guess what? In cases like this, there has never been any, there's been no victories. So that is what I'm trying to come together with people around the world and teams in the United States to say, hey, guys, we need to find the solution here. There has been no solution. By the way, Coach Dave, not to go into the case, but my son ends up getting kidnapped out internationally outside the United States into Australia and gets profiled nude photos for sale.
Do you have him now? Do you have your son now?
No, I've never seen him again.
Oh, my Lord. But you saw nude pictures of your son that were in Australia.
Right. So the State Department got involved at that point. So again, we think that's the answer, Dave. So that was my answer. I thought that was going to be the answer. I had a team in the State Department of Children's Issues in Washington, D.C. I filed in federal court in D.C. I was just a day late and a dollar short, thinking that was going to be the answer.
Yep. No redress grievances. That's right.
Right. And you know what happened? They were fighting another group of people in Children's Matters, the State Department, that turned out to be people that were really CIA. They were fighting each other. They were trying to stop my child from leaving the United States. He left on 3 counterfeit birth certificates. They stole the passport. I had the transgender woman impersonate me as the mother of my child, which is all documented, by the way, in a proffer of evidence criminal complaint.
All right, let's get into the weeds here. Let's get into our experts. Roger, come on in. Luann, come on in here.
Well, the thing that I wouldn't mind a few minutes spending on is, and Bobby Lee, I think, can help this, is if and when Children's Services enters your life, what do you do?
Wow.
I always tell my clients, never let your child be alone with an interviewer from Children's Services. Your child is always entitled to counsel. Let your school know that nobody is to have a private interview with your child unless you are present. Many times that's where they go to interview the kids and you're not aware of it. Thirdly, if you ever have to sit down with a person from Children's Services, have a lawyer with you or a third party. And if you think they're coming for your kids, don't answer the door.
Hey, Roger, what do you do if you find out that the school guidance counselor has been talking to your child? What do you do, Roger?
Well, I think, and it varies a little bit from state to state, but I think the key thing is the telling them in written form that nobody is to contact your attorney or talk to your attorney unless your son or daughter's attorney is present. Some statutes allow them to bypass a parent, but if you put them on notice that your son has a lawyer, and he's 8 and he's got a lawyer and nobody is to talk to him without that lawyer being present, that will put a little fear in them before they do anything. And if you think an investigation is going on or you think something has taken place, be proactive. Don't wait till they come to you. You go to them and say, listen, he's got a lawyer. This is the lawyer's name. Do not talk to him.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you, Roger, and that's great. This is wonderful. But let me explain something. You're playing defense again. This is why TK and I get really upset, is because nobody's getting it. We need to come together. Listen. They traffic through schools.
Reggie, hang on a second.
Let me tell you.
Just hold on a second, okay? There's many folds that are unfolding in this environment.
Yeah.
Many families are nowhere near what you've experienced. The typical family, the Children's Services approaches them. So the key is to understand for the typical family when the approach takes place what to do. You may have other counsel in other areas and go on the offense, but the typical family in a typical divorce situation and so forth, they're going to get a call or a letter from Children's Services. My comments are tied to that environment, to any other environment.
Okay, then what? You're telling them what to do at that moment. Then what? What are they going to do after that?
Pardon me?
I think
what I've told them is for that environment. Now, I would have to think through to answer your question because I don't know really what your point is.
Let the referee jump in here a second. Yeah. I think Roger's given great, valid information. I appreciate it. And your point is what, Reggie?
He's telling them what to do for that moment. Again, offense.
I think it's good.
But
Reggie, okay, right. But you're not coming across as what he says is valid. What he said is very, very valid.
Very valid.
You're saying that is valid. However, there's another issue here. So go ahead and tell us what the other issue is.
Coach Dave.
Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I interject. Thank you. So I work with survivors, Coach Dave, that were trafficked through the courts by CPS that are survivors today. They're taken from their parents by CPS, okay, and literally put in child pornography, okay? Mm. So I literally work with them on teams as we speak. around the world. And I have, we have a case right now we're fighting in from Australia, one of our team leads, who, by the way, was fighting the education system because she wanted to homeschool her child. And she disagreed with the opinion of a doctor on her son's medical condition. So I'm just using this as an example. So, you know, here were, so again, what the other gentleman just said, those were things that she started to go down. There were signs that CPS may have been maybe trying to poke their head in. So she did all of those things that the gentleman just mentioned. And I will have you know that, do you know that the, when those things start happening, those are your, those parents, those are your red flags that it's really time to, I mean, that means these people are gunning for your child. When they come in and they start to take your child separately and start to come to your home, that, you know what, the thing is, you can't just not answer the door. They'll come with the U.S. Marshals next time or some kind of law enforcement that is involved with this, because that's exactly what they did to her, and they've got her child. Right,
okay,
now.
Cool.
That's
okay,
what
cool.
I'm trying to explain. That's what I was trying to explain.
Okay. So let's intervene here a second and then say, okay, Reggie, so that's, Reggie, what is it you want us to do?
We're trying to educate. That's what we're saying. Nobody wants to get involved because everybody's afraid. We need to play defense. And this is going to take, and I hate to use this term because it's Hillary's, a village. It is going to take people to realize that you have to, that the system does not work, because the system was set up for procuring children.
Children, right.
Folks, did you hear that?
Road, everybody.
Folks, did you hear that, folks? The system, whether it was set up or whether it has evolved, the system is designed now to take children from the parents for nefarious reasons. It's not Child Protective Services anymore. You amen that, Bobby? You amen that? Bobby.
Amen, Coach. I'm here.
Okay. Hey, do you amen that, Bobby?
I do. Listen, I'm listening to all this, and I've been in more meetings and seen stuff that you can't even imagine. All of that aside, it's a county by county, nationwide court CPS industry. All right, that's what you're fighting, and you're fighting the corporation of the foster care. It's all a massive money making industry. All of that goes without saying. Now, Reggie's right. They will send the cops at your house or pull you over en route somewhere and take your kid when you're not expecting it. And you're fighting the schools, you're fighting the churches, you're fighting all the good Samaritans. Now, the flip side of this, a lot of times when you fight back, CPS will eventually back off. Many times they don't. Now, and CPS does target people with a lower financial stability that can't afford attorneys.
Okay, let me jump in here, Bobby, because I think this is the point that Roger Weaver made and Reggie made. When you start hearing from Children's Services, you better know you're targeted. You better know your child is in danger of being taken from you. And that's what I think. That was Roger's point, and I understand Reggie's point. Reggie is saying the system is corrupt, folks. The system is corrupt. And it's like everything else. Everything is local. I got about 20 people want to jump in here. Okay. So let me just try to move down here as quickly as, please do me a favor, folks. Don't give me your life story. I love you. Don't give me your life story. Keep your question short and to the point. Go ahead, Luann, then Myra. Go ahead.
Okay. I know this has been going, I understand exactly what she's talking about because they did it to me, but that was back in the late 80s. Okay. Now they're doing it to my child, with my grandkids in Florida. So my grandkids are missing too. And that's because they took them. They didn't want them down there, but they don't want to give them back to their mother. So I, you know, they've been abused terribly. We all need to get together, like me and her. Go ahead, put something in there. I can contact you. We can work on this together. And like you said, a village, take them down. Stop this. Get our kids.
The devil hates families. Myra, go then, Tracy.
Good morning, Saints. Reggie, thank you so much for bringing light in darkness. I love you, sister. I will be soon fully licensed in the state of Maryland. I'm bilingual, English and Spanish. I have dealt with many of these cases. My advice to the clients is to get a lawyer if they can afford it. However, like Bobby Lee says,
most of them can't afford it.
They don't have the resources. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Many times it's just you gotta be in prayer. That's what I can say. Thank you.
Tracy, come on in, then Joseph.
I just had a comment, not a question, but I've been dealing with the family court advocating for 15 years, and it's easy to tell people to get up to the plate with an attorney, but most of the people I deal with can't afford it. So what we do is we educate through support groups, and I know my husband got further representing himself than with an attorney that took all our money. So sometimes if you get a good magistrate, a good judge or anything, and they see that person is fighting for themselves and fighting for their rights, sometimes they're a little bit more apt to go with that person. So, I mean, but the courts are very, very corrupt, and it's a big money-making business.
Joe Allen, come on, and then Mark Trump, and then Jeff. Go, Joe.
My wife and I had the same thing with our child in homeschooling. We had to get a lawyer system for homeschooling.
Well, that's coming, folks. That is coming, folks. That's coming.
Because the outside doctor we took him to said that he needs to be in school for socialism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's coming for sure, folks. Mark Trump, come on in. Then Jeff, then Larry.
Yeah, one of the things that T said I'd like her to expound on, and she said bloodlines. So whenever families are targeted, it's usually generational.
Yep.
And this is what Hitler did, is he was looking for bloodlines. Yep. This is where all the child trafficking came from. So I'd like you to explain in your case, tell me about your bloodline.
Okay, so thank you so much. You hit the nail on the head. You're absolutely right. It's generational. So what CPS is doing and the medical system is doing is they are tracking people, I just got through saying earlier, through bloodline. It's called, they do it through the hospitals. Reggie knows, as we talked about this the other day, at birth, they'll take the blood from the child. It goes through a system called CRISPR and then through Epic. So they keep a genealogy database of everybody so they can track you. So if you end up in the system, especially people under Title 4D, that is where they really, you put yourself in the system at that point. And those are the children that get taken really quick because it's kids for cash system. And
so who's involved with that, T, is they do that PKU on your children, stop getting all these things done to your kids when you have a baby. And then guess who else helps track? The Mormon Church.
That's right. So what they do in my case, so they already knew that I was a bloodliner. I was generational. My situation goes back to letters patent in the family. So one of the first organizations I became a client of that was anti-trafficking, that literally I had to be safe housed, you guys. I had to be literally, I work with different officials because I have been kidnapped myself after this because I was a whistleblower. So they came after me for that reason, and because I'm actually trying to save my child. So with that said, they knew I had letters patent in the family. So mine is, like I said, a really high level case. So it goes back to lineage. So what it's kind of like designer babies, I guess you could say, is my best way to explain my situation. You know, people like, breed horses, they want the best horse and they pay the most for the best horse. So it's kind of on that level. So somebody in these bloodlines, basically, it's kind of like the designer baby. They wanted that child from this bloodline, and it's kind of like breeding the best whatever, you know?
Got it. Jeff Klein, let's go. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, real quick, we had a family here in Mount Vernon, young couple, three kids, many trips to they were forcing them to go to the hospital, take their kids, children's services coming in their apartment. The guy reached out to me. I said, buddy, and he was attacking the county commissioners and the judge. He was going out and just blasting it, and they were attacking him worse. I said, hold up. So we're going to call Tom Condit. We'll get him on this. Tom made some phone calls and then made some trips to Mount Vernon, and then people didn't have no money. So I donated a little money to Tom. Tom didn't get but peanuts. He took care of it. They're off their butts. And I said, now, buddy, calm down a minute. Let's go after some more cases. and let's find some more witnesses in the county against this group. Yeah. And I'm going to run for county commissioner again. Then we'll know the inside scoop on this stuff and we'll attack it. But get your kids, get them off your kids right now. And come he on, did. Tom helped.
I want to move on. Larry, then Dale, then Joe, quickly.
Yeah, I want you kind of hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned there. It's not just get a lawyer. It is find a Christian lawyer. Because without, you know, a lawyer without the Christian beliefs and core system guiding his life is on the other side, my friend.
Good, good. Go, Dale.
That doesn't always work.
Go, Dale.
Yeah. No. Well, amen, coach. Listen, brother, there is no.
No, that doesn't problem. Always work.
No, it doesn't. Coach Dave, can I interject too about lawyers? Yeah. I've been through 12 and they were all paid off. This is T.
Gotcha.
They were all paid off. They started out good. And they all got paid off. I had to become, so I want to tell people, you need to study the Constitution and become your own lawyers.
Yes.
I believe personally that, I mean, not everybody's going to agree, but that the sovereign is where the sovereign way to go. We need to kind of re-educate our law enforcement on the Republic. And as far as that's my opinion. But I really believe we all need to know the law and need to be able to understand it to fight for our own children.
Dale, go ahead. Dale and Joe, real quick. Go.
Amen, brother. There is no telltale fix, but it does come down to the parent. We had this conversation last night with my wife talking about the law in Ohio that they can come in and take your children out if they don't have certain vaccinations. I told my wife, what do you do when they come to the door? The fact is, coach, if they're going to come and they're going to forcefully remove them, I told my wife last night, they better bring body bags. Now, they might get me in the end, but I promise you there's going to be several that go down with me.
Absolutely.
Stop it now. Joe, go ahead. Joe, go then, Betty.
Hi, Coach. I just wanted to point out that I believe Dave Hodges, who I hope you know, had a very similar experience and lasted a long time. I think they had some successes. Maybe you could reach out, Coach, if you have a direct connection to him and see if he can add any value.
I'll do that. Thanks, Joe.
It might be better than a lawyer here.
Okay, Betty, go ahead.
Good morning. I can vouch that these family services, they do come like a thief in the night. I was taken 3 years old, and I was raped 100 times a year. And my mom did not know, and she was so heartbroken. It was just terrible. But not only is it a moneymaker for the state, it's a moneymaker for those families. And you know what? The states don't even support it because they have statute of limitations. And you know, after that statute of limitations, you're thrown out in the wind.
Okay. Okay, listen, I got to wrap this up. T, listen to me. What do they do with the children? Don't they just take them and put them in nice homes with nice families where they'll give them Easter baskets and Christmas trees? Isn't that what they do with them?
So that's absolutely a faux pas. And these foster care families and adoption, my son was also black marked adopted out. I didn't get to go into that, but that's another day. So no, these children end up in child pornography. As I just got through telling you, they profiled my son in nude photos when he got to New South Wales, Australia. And I'm going to tell you, the survivors I work with, do you know, literally, that they even tried to take their own child pornography that they ended up in going to law enforcement and they were falsely incarcerated. And that happened to me too. So I want to tell you that no, these children end up being adopted out and they call it rehoming. And if they find out and try to tell anybody what's happening to them, they'll rehome them 3, 4, 5 times again. The worst situations are children that end up outside the country like my son. And I kid you not, trying to track them down, they end up selling them for body parts. They end up using them also in something called adrenochrome, which is sold on the black market. So I'm telling you that this is the new Silk Road, people. This is how governments around the world are making buku, buku bucks more than trafficking drugs. This is how they fund their wars even. So you need to know that. So how do we as a people around the world and even in this nation, how do we stand up and have and be courageous and say, you know what, how are we Gideon's army for God, and how do we protect and save our children? That's the actual ultimate answer and the solution we need to find.
Folks, so here it is. First of all, the first step is always information. Information. Right. T, we appreciate you coming here today. Reggie, we appreciate the work that you did to get her here. Folks, our eyes are now being opened to understand what's going on around us. Child Protective Services, just like every other government agency, has been nothing more than a den for nefarious people to hide behind or hide in. We have to become aware that Child Protective Services is not there to protect children, but sad to say, they're to procure children. Now, there are good people like anything else that work within the Child Protective Services, but the system is broken. The system is evil. And if they cannot just steal your child, they will take you to lawfare, meaning they will break you financially, hiring a lawyer to try to defend your right to have your own children. God bless you, T. We'll have to do this again. Oh, man, the devil is roaring about, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may desire. We need to wake up, church. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.